into deep left field. It is gone!
Hit well. Deep right. Batista's going to wave goodbye. Start the fireworks show.
This is the official Covering the Corner podcast, episode 184. I am your host, Matt Lyons. On this week's episode, talk about some spring training games the Guardians have played, state of the roster since we last talked about them last year in 2021, who's left for the Guardians to add in a very slow offseason that they've had so far. Discuss all that and more with none other than Mr. Merritt Rolfing. Merritt, how you been?
Great, dude. Guards. We're guards now. It's rules.
I've watched parts of three games, and I've heard two dozen Indians already come out of announcers. It's very difficult to I feel like we got a head start on that, first not calling him by the name and then calling him Guardians early, so it's like, it's easy for us now, but I can understand, like,
I'm pretty sure that
it's a leap.
I think maybe they changed it by now, but like Mike Petriello posted something from Baseball Savant and it still said Indians.
And like, oh,
that's
sure
the official right thing. Like, that's owned by baseball. Come on, fix this. And this was like 3 days ago too. So come on, guys. Say,
seeing the Guardian stuff everywhere is really cool. Like, that's what I was excited for. Like, seeing that baseball, a little flappy G. I don't care if they call it the fastball G. It's the flappy G. It's got wings. It's a ball.
Yeah, flappy G. Yeah,
it flaps. Oh, yes. And it looks awesome in like 3D and in like everywhere. And the block in the Diamond C is objectively better than the Block C, and maybe one of.
I got my hat, dude. It's sick. I love it. Awesome. Yeah, I got the red brim hat. It's very nice. I didn't wear it during the lockout in solidarity, so I had to switch over to all of my. You just
solemnly put it in a drawer and closed it.
I did. I was like, not yet. Yeah. So I had to switch over to all my various minor league hats because they are not covered by the union, so it does not matter. So yeah.
I want one of those spring training hats. They don't have them without that stupid patch though, and I don't want to do the work of removing it. But they're really cool, like the blue on blue with a little red outline. I guess every team does it with their colors, but more importantly, Merritt, the baseball has technically happened after the long lockout, months of no news followed by, for the Guardians, basically no more news. One backup catcher signed, and now we're into games. I know you said you didn't get to watch much or any of the spring training games so far, but it hasn't been. I mean, they were 2-0 coming into today as we recorded on Monday. And then just an absolute, I don't think you call this a barn burner, right? If one side, it's like half the barn burned and that was it.
Because the Rangers ran up 20. That would be.
This was an arson. This was assault. Yeah. The Rangers put up 25 on the Guardians and the Guardians scored 12, which was, I mean, mostly in garbage time. It's spring training, so score doesn't matter. But also, it was, what, a four-hour game of a game that doesn't matter with backups and everything. But there was a couple fun things. Gabriel Arias looked really good.
I will say they're averaging like over 10 runs a game though. So I mean,
there you go, offense.
The
fixed.
Offense, it's there.
Checkmate. Like, haters
don't need to sign anyone. All the young guys are good now. It turns out they're all ace superstars. So I love spring training for dumb overreactions, and I'm here for it 100%.
Stephen Kwan was the thing I was excited about. Oh, he's the guy who, if nobody kept up with it in the offseason lockout. Like, Fangraphs basically projects him to be, I think, was it like the best Guardians outfielder other than maybe Miles Straw, better than most of their free agent options. Obviously not like Michael Conforto or the really good ones they can get, which we'll talk about later. But for some reason, Fangraphs Zips just really likes his projections. I think a lot of Guardians fans are starting to catch on to him coming out the minors. He had a really good game yesterday. He had a 2-strike, hit the ball the other way. He had a couple hits, and they were both impressive. I think I'm more excited for him than I was, like, I can't pretend I wasn't excited for Daniel Johnson, who also played today, but I'm really excited for Daniel, more than like Greg Allen, who a lot of people, it seems very similar, the hype levels, like he was kind of, people started to catch on in AA, and now they're getting more excited in AAA. I think Kwan's going to start in AAA, and I think he has a pretty decent chance to have a lot better career, at least in Cleveland, than Greg Allen did, which will be exciting. But yeah, it's just all the young guys played today. Most of them did well. Owen Miller. It seems like all the ones who were probably going to start in the majors did not do well. Like Owen Miller was 0-3. Ernie Clement was 1-2. I think Yu Chang has had a couple errors so far in spring, so it's been rough for like the starters, but the young guys, which I guess is kind of what they're going for here, helping these young guys pull through and they don't have to sign anybody, is what they're looking for, and it's kind of what's happening so far.
I mean, Chang's there for his bet anyways.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, dude, yeah. Stephen Kwan, by the way, I mean, again, for those who don't know the name, we got 217 games in the minors for his career. Not a lot, but still, .301 batting average, and he's putting a bunch of weight on, it looks like, too. So he's mashing. Like, this could be – maybe this is the luck. Maybe this is the good luck they finally stumbled on, finding some round five draftee. Oregon State, I mean, they poop out hitters like it's nobody's business. So it's – I'm unsurprised by that sourcing, I suppose. But maybe he's the first big coup in their they've cracked hitting. It took them years to figure out pitching, but now they've cracked hitting. So they're going to start cranking out silver sluggers and MVPs along with their Cy Young winners, is my obvious level-headed assumption here. Because again, spring training, nothing matters, and I'm jacked, dude. Here we go.
But the thing with Kwan was, I was going to say, if he does break out and if he is like a two-win player, like that solves most of their problem. It's the sad part of, I don't think there's a good chance that happens, but if they could just sign somebody who could probably do that, like everybody who's already been signed, who they were reportedly so close to, but they didn't grab any of them. I mean, if Kwan pans out, then maybe they turn out to be right and they didn't need to sign anybody. But I would also like them to have a higher payroll than like $30 million, whatever it is, with just Jose Ramirez,
$34 million,
and a bunch of pre-arb players. It's not going to be it's not a good look coming into your first time as a Guardian, as the Guardians, coming out and just basically having nobody on your paid roster besides Jose Ramirez. Even extension of Ramirez at this point, I think you've got to add something to help around him, which kind of takes us to just the state of the roster is another thing I wanted to talk about as we sort of bring back the podcast. We haven't talked in a while since I think last September is when it was. There's not, I mean, again, not a ton of changes. They haven't done a whole lot. Basically, all we know from spring so far is that the outfield is still a mess. Terry Francona didn't seem to commit to Zimmer and Mercado too much. I was reading on Guardians.com today, or Manny Bell was writing that, just kind of the way he said it wasn't exactly like there are guys, we're going for it. It was more like we're gonna see what we got out there, and they happened to be the ones there. Ahmed Rosario is apparently going to be moved around again. He could be shortstop, left field, right field, whatever, center field. I guess center field's locked down by Straw now, but yeah, what are your thoughts just on the general state of what we're looking at now, which I guess is not totally different from last year, but maybe some guys getting older and getting better, hopefully.
I mean, the big question marks are obviously the fact that they have Josh Naylor listed as either first or second string of three different positions when he blew his knee out, which is troubling. He's
their backup all over the field, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's their backup left fielder, right fielder. He's a super sub. It's beautiful. Yeah. Right now, according to the depth chart on the official website, he's a starting left fielder. He's a starting right fielder. He's the backup first baseman. He's not the DH for some reason, so whatever, but I'd say that's the most glaring thing, that, and then the fact that I just, you know, again, you spend the whole winter just like being grumpy about baseball not existing and you know, the whole bullshit with the lockout there, and you forget the fact that their catching situation is currently Sandy Leon, Austin Hedges, and then didn't they sign, so they have an NRI as well as a catcher, I think.
Yeah, the one guy they signed.
No, yeah, it is Sandy Leon is the non-roster invitee, but he's listed right now as a starting catcher. And again, like, this is something we talk about constantly, the fact that Cleveland just simply does not value or values the defensive side of things. And, I mean, Hedges and Leon are good at what they do defensively. But it would be nice to have a team that could hit. And looking at this team, again, to your point, someone better make a move, because otherwise we're going to see a lot of not hitting.
Of not hitting is what I think I'd like to go for.
Yeah, you know, that'd be nice. You're right. Good point. But yeah, there's just looking at the roster right now, it's disappointing, because well, they're protected for like a 78 win season, and I know we have high hopes about a full season. Shane, what did they win last year? They won like I don't even remember. Here we go.
I think they were below 500, right? Because they snapped the streak.
They were 80-82.
Yeah,
right. They were 80-82. I mean, obviously, we're excited about a full season once again of Bieber and Plesac, and I'm excited, actually, for the next couple of days. I believe that we're going to see our first sighting of Eli Morgan. And, you know, that's the kind of guy who we're hoping can add a couple of ticks to his fastball because his changeup is so dirty. That could be good. Logan Allen got bombed today. Overall, Matt, not happy with the roster. I'll be honest with you. It looks like it's going to – so here's the thing. In the Slack the other day, someone mentioned that they got no-hit four times last year, and I just completely forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's technically only three, because the other one was a shortened doubleheader game. So let's keep that in mind.
I don't care. I mean, we should.
It's four. The regulation game was over, and they didn't get a hit. They were no-hit four times, which is insane.
So, yeah, I kind of forgot about that. And then, like, what's changed? Nothing. If anything, it's gotten worse. So, we'll get to this in a bit about things that they could add, but like you said, with Kwan or some of these other young guys, I mean, maybe Arias can force himself onto the team, but this is not a team, or an organization rather, that historically has allowed that, right? Because they care so much about like service time, protecting control, and you know, all the other things that cause a lockout.
Not psyched,
I guess.
Yeah, if he didn't have to force himself on, like, if they were just going all in on youth and like just have Arias, have Stephen Kwan start, and like we know they're going to and get consistent time, then okay, I guess. Like last year was supposed to be, we always talk about the stealth rebuild year, and it was supposed to lead into this where you have those young guys who were producing and now they can just build on that. But like none of the young guys produced like they should last year because Andre Jimenez didn't, Owen Miller didn't, Yu Chang didn't grow very much. Oscar Mercado and Bradley Zimmer are basically just flamed out at this point. So I guess that was just kind of a setback, but then it didn't bother fixing it at all. And they're just doing it again. And maybe we'll see like Stephen Kwan up eventually, but I mean, just the fact, like you said, that Josh Naylor is the backup at so many positions, they just have to add something, whether it's, I don't know. Part of the problem, too, is they stashed so many guys in the 40-man roster because they thought a Rule 5 draft was going to happen, and then it didn't, and now they can't add anybody without getting rid of somebody. So I think a trade makes the most sense. But
at the risk of sounding like a rube who just hasn't been paying attention, which I am, where the hell is Nolan Jones? Wasn't he going to be the next big thing? Am I forgetting something? Is he broken now? Is he bad actually? Or
no, he just wasn't great last year, and he just kind of disappeared off everything. I don't know. That's. I mean, I'm as lost as you are, and I've watched him. He just averaged last year. Once he hit AAA, I mean, I don't know. Last year was supposed to be the year that we were going to get mad about him not debuting, and then he didn't, and then he wasn't good. I was like, oh, okay, I kind of get it now. But
yeah, because like.
I mean, the strikeout issues have just gotten worse every single year for him, and in AAA it peaked to 30%. So, I mean, it's pretty clear, like, what his issue is, and usually if you're a guy like him who strikes out a lot and also walks a lot in the minors, and it doesn't get better as you go through the AAA, you're probably just going to strike out a lot and not walk as much, because you're going to see better pitches. I think they probably see something in Nolan Jones that just doesn't even make him viable to start in the season, and probably not even a huge trade chip. If they do trade him, just somebody who needs a third baseman who's rebuilding. I mean, you can always dump anybody on the Pirates. So if they need somebody, they have an outfielder. I mean, Brian Reynolds, you talk about adding. They'll take any of your prospects that are your Eric Gonzalez's who might have one tool that'll work eventually. But yeah, I don't know. It's just a guy who just sort of faded as he came up. And he's still only 23. But at this point, like if you're 23, 24 in AAA, you're kind of getting old. Getting kind of old in AAA. And
yeah, he's outside of the. I mean, I left my Baseball Prospectus annual in the other room, unfortunately. But Fangraph's top 100, he's top prospect. He's fallen out of the top 100, which whatever that means, obviously. But still, like the fact that he's been leapfrogged by Arias and Kwan and Espino and Rocchio,
kind of good news. I mean, not good news.
I mean, it is sure. I mean, it's cool that they have the third or fourth most top 100 prospects, tied obviously with like five teams. But
if Nolan Jones panned out, they'd be in a much better position right now. Like if he was a great left fielder, this team would look a whole lot better. But he's just
he was a pretty good left fielder, if he was able to hit 280 with a 340 on base and a 450, slugging percentage.
Yeah, this team would look a whole lot different. But he's not, and that's kind of the problem.
Yeah, no, that's kind of just been a thing that's kind of stuck in my craw for over a year now. Obviously, because I've just been like. Are we supposed to? Isn't the point of all this the prospects? Like, I don't get to like fall in love with a player long term because they leave after whatever 8 years or something like that. I need prospects to feed me. You know, it's like give me more. Yes, give me the youth. I feed upon this. You know, I'm like a vampire sometimes.
I mean, I don't pay attention to like most teams' prospects, so I don't know how often it occurs. But it feels like there's been a lot of Guardians prospects who have come up and then just. Flamed out, especially hitting. I guess it's only hitting prospects. We know they have a problem. They said it themselves. They struggle with hitting development not as much as they do pitching, or more than they do pitching. Like they've got pitching seems like nailed down, but all these guys are coming up. Like we mentioned earlier, Owen Miller, Yu Chang, all these guys who seem like they had something and they've come up and we're just waiting on someone else to replace them. Now, I don't know if like Arias is going to do the same thing when he gets up. If Kwan's going to do the same thing. Like Ernie Clement was another one. I don't think anybody thought him to be great, but he came up and he was just kind of not good in his limited time. And Nolan Jones now, who hasn't even made it to the majors. I wonder if part of it will be eventually, because I forgot until today that they have a new hitting coach, Chris Valleca. I don't know how much of the problem Ty Van Berkeley was, but when you get no hit four times, I guess you got to make some change, and that was the change they are getting rid of him. So maybe there's something there. And also the weird thing with him, like looking up his stuff last year when they hired him, his specialty was like taking veteran guys who needed a small adjustment, helping them do it. And now they've got him and they're not getting these veteran guys. I don't know if maybe they, like the minor league guys coming up, might have a small adjustment you can help him with. If that just kind of translates, he's just maybe a good like tutor and helps you decipher that stuff in general. But I don't know, maybe just the difference is not having Ty Van Berkeley around, who didn't exist in the first place, but now we've got Chris Valleca, who definitely does exist. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I just tell you, and I know I've said this several times before in the show, but it's just, I can't give that much credence one way or the other to a professional hitting coach. It's much more of an organizational thing. And unless they're doing some big time overhauls, you know, like elsewhere, or big changes that we just don't know about because we aren't privy to that knowledge. Maybe that, and who knows, maybe they'll hit this year and it's all this guy because he noticed something or does his job at all. Who knows? Maybe Tyler Verhoeven was in fact a bag of sand or something, just with a mustache on it or something like that.
And we're never going to know either. Cause if they turn out to hit really well, it's just going to be, oh, well, it's like you said, there's an organizational change. It's not just Ty Van Berkeley. If they're really bad, you're going to say, look, it wasn't Ty Van Berkeley the whole time. So, I mean, we're never really going to know.
Yeah, and what's insane is, like, they did still produce a couple, like, good hitters over in Van Berkeley's time with the team. It's not like they just, like, I mean, Michael Brantley's a good example. And I think what we are both doing here is just expecting constant success when in reality, like, you know, just looking at FanGraphs top 100, how many of these players will be worth more than 5 wins above replacement in their entire career, right? Like, are we going to be singing the praises of Josh Jung and Curtis Mead and Josh Winder and Brady House in the next 10 years? I'm sure that the Nationals and Twins and the Rangers will be jazzed to hear that, but, like, I don't think so. Failure is the expectation with baseball in every single way, right? Like, whether it's, you know, they're always like, oh, whatever, even the best hitters in the world fail 60% of the time or whatever, but, like, you know, when it comes to prospects, it's you're not gonna make it. Like, you're not gonna make it unless you do. Like, and so maybe we're just digging ourselves a hole of expectation. But we've also, I feel like I've been sold a bag of like a load of goods here over the last
multiple times
over the last, yeah. I'll honestly say decade, because after that pseudo golden generation that we kind of got with, like, Brantley and Santana and Kipnis and Chisenhall and that whole crew, there's been nothing. Like, I mean, obviously the capstone to all that was Lindor and Ramirez, but outside of that, like, we just haven't seen anything come out of the minors of any real. Am I forgetting? I'm hitting wise, no, obviously. Am I forgetting anyone? Like,
no. I mean, no. Yeah, like Bobby Bradley was supposed to be the one because he could add crazy power. He just strikes out too much. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, yeah, there's nobody. I mean, like, Owen Miller, I don't know. Nolan Jones was supposed to be the other one, and he just is not at all.
Like,
Will that's Benson, when, like, at one point, he was another high draft pick, another outfielder they drafted who doesn't pan out. So
Jake Bowers was supposed to be a guy. Tyler Naquin was supposed to be a guy. Obviously, there was the triplets that we always like to think of in the outfield. But yeah, they just haven't produced anything over the last 6 or 7 years. And, like, there's been a lot of drafts and there's been a lot of middle infielders and there's been a lot of no success. So I don't know what you take out of that, but you're just like, I'm tired of looking at platoons of random dudes. Like, I love Jordan Luplo and I love whoever their modern day Jordan Luplo is going to be, but
it could have been Jock Peterson. Damn it. But you know what?
He's God not, damn it. That would have been so, like, much fun. I was so jazzed for a Jock Peterson arrival.
I wanted that for years. Like, this, and he was signed for almost nothing. There's no way they could not afford that. I don't care how cheap they want to act like they are. There's no way they couldn't pay him what was like $7 million for a year. You can
like,
do that.
You saw that post, I'm sure. Like, 20 years ago, their payroll was more than twice what the payroll is now. And you can say what you want about attendance, but we know for a fact that attendance is now a tertiary revenue source for any team. I would almost even hazard to say particularly small market teams. Like, What the Rays in on Freddie Freeman? What does that tell?
Yeah, no, yeah. Like, I mean, the Twins, they just signed Carlos Correa, or not Carlos Correa. They just signed somebody.
Yeah, they signed Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not in the market much bigger than Cleveland, and they don't get that much more attendance. I looked at it's like not even a million more a year they don't get. So it's not a huge gap between Cleveland and these other cities as far as the payroll is making it look like it is. They could clearly do it. They could clearly add anybody, which, speaking of, they've added nobody at this point.
You saw that quote that Dallas Keuchel had today, right? He was just talking about, it's just one more guy we got to get out. And, you know, Cleveland could be good. They spent a little money and they could be a real threat, but, you know.
His exact quote was, from a CBA standpoint, I'd like Cleveland to pay their players more. But I'm not an ownership guy, so I can't say much. I mean, you're not wrong, Dallas. You're not wrong there.
You know what? Yeah, I'm going to buy myself a Dallas Keuchel jersey. Astros, of course, from Cy Young year.
But I mean, the problem there also is, like, I don't think it's going to fix the problem if they pay Austin Hedges $20 million more dollars, but they need to pay players more to get more players over here. I mean, obviously, I'd like extending, because they haven't done those extensions. Like, was Jose the last one? The last, like, because that's what they were known for a good, like, year and a half there, was getting these guys before they came, like, busted out.
What they were always known for, right? From the 90s on, from John Hart on, it was always getting guys pre-arb eligible and signing them to something that eats up a few, free agency years. And I know they want to try and do that with Bieber. I know Well, he said something last week about wanting to stick around. Like, he likes being in Cleveland, which I don't blame him. I mean, selfishly, your numbers look way good pitching against the AL Central half the time. So that always benefits, and it definitely helps you hit your accelerators as far as salary is concerned. It also makes you feel like a badass. So
yeah, and I don't doubt him saying that whatsoever. I'm sure he wants to stick around, just in general.
Like, I didn't realize how high their salary was in the 1990s. The fact, like, if they could just get up to $75 million,
that's all we're asking franchise, for. I don't need her to be the Dodgers. So that's fine. That's the other thing. Like, they're a good enough front office that if you get them another, like, you double, triple the payroll, which is still not that much, you could probably make a pretty damn good team. They just didn't have to tear apart the 2018 team they had and maybe, like, build off of that and keep it going instead of shredding it apart for payroll. That's all I'm saying, man. I mean, like this offseason, there wasn't a ton of huge players. I think even one of the biggest out there, Michael Conforto, is still there. But I mean, there's Nick Castellanos, Kyle Schwarber, Jock Peterson, we talked about, Jorge Soler is another one. There's all these outfielders they could have just got who are not like Trevor Story, who also, by the way, was not a ton of money for what he is. But he wasn't that. He wasn't like an 8-year, $300 million guy. They could have got all these and they just got none of them. And they're just going with Oscar Mercado and Bradley Zimmer for who knows what reason. We'll probably get they've got to sign a backup somewhere, and I'm sure we're going to get one. Dexter Fowler is still floating out there somewhere. I'm sure Michael Martinez is hitting the ball somewhere. Bring him in, why not? Get another infielder. I'm sure he can play the outfield. It's just they have not added anything. But I guess the question now is, if we're going from pessimistic to hopefully optimistic, is what can they actually add? I mean, there's not a ton of free agents left. There's a few. Conforto, I think Tommy Pham is still a free agent.
He is, yeah. I just checked the thing as of, at least a couple hours ago, he hadn't signed. So
yeah. So I mean, there's him. There's potential trade targets. I saw the Rays wanted to maybe consider trading Austin Meadows. That would be very good. I'd be all for that. Brian Reynolds from the Pirates again. I think that'd be my top one if you could. I don't care how many middle infielders you have to trade to get Brian Reynolds for. I'm sure he's still well under pre-arb. Get him over here for a couple of years. I'd rather have him than.
They've got 8 prospects in the top 110.
Any infield prospects. So trade 2 of them, trade 3 of them. I don't care. Whatever you got to get to get them.
Give a pitching prospect. Shoot. Yeah. Give him whatever. Who cares? Like,
I mean, Merritt, Daniel Espino? For Brian Reynolds? Daniel Espino?
I mean, I don't know. Whatever. Who you know what? Trade Cal Quantrill for something really impactful. I like him well enough.
Merritt, I just drew a line.
Look,
you stepped
how over. Many, I read line, so many articles over the last couple of weeks where it's just like, teams are looking for pitching, and I'm like, Indians or the Guardians are pretty good at one specific thing. Look at that! Oh, I won't even think about it. Never mind. It's not Cal Quantrill, though. It's ridiculous.
There's like a little wall, and the other side is Shane Bieber and Cal Quantrill. They're waving to you because you can't go over there and you can't trade them. Those are the two. I don't know. He's our special boy. We cannot trade Cal Quantrill. I'm sure
some legit stuff.
You could. I feel like after this year, you're going to be able to. I think maybe he's still. I'm sure some teams recognize that there's some really good stuff brewing there. But I think after this year, when he's a full-time starter for the whole season or whatever weird shit they do at the beginning, like it's going to be rolling with Cal Quantrill. I'm really excited for him. I mean, his whole pitching staff, obviously, it's exciting. Tristan McKenzie is still growing. Aaron Civale is going to be whatever the hell he's doing over there. I'm sure he'll have a new pitch out there.
He's garbaging it up, man. He's going to bring the gyro ball back.
It's nice weird they're doing the four-pitch thing when they have – all these guys still like they have so many starting pitchers and a bunch just got to be shifted to the bullpen. Cause we saw today, like Hentges and Logan Allen, I think that those ships are long gone and sunk into
very bad
the ocean, but and those two are going to be there. And then you got Logan T. Allen coming up soon. Daniel Espino again, like, yeah, I think they could probably trade pitching to get one of these guys. They have to.
That's a good point. I think the bullpen in particular, Class A obviously, and they have Trevor Stephan, Mick Sandlin, and then it just kind of becomes just some guys. And I mean, I don't know what you do with that. Like now that several of these guys have had their, you know, we've seen the emperor without clothes with guys like James Karinchak. What does that look like? I don't know. What does that look like going forward? Because guys like Stefan and Class A, and some of these guys have good velocity. It's just everything else is trash. So Henches, obviously good velo, throws it straight as an arrow, and then he gives up, let's see, 4 hits and 5 runs in 0.1 innings for an ERA of 135.0. Not great at all. Okay, they brought in Marman after that, and he gave up 4 runs and only 4 hits. Much more efficient for an ERA of 108.
But then are guys like Eli Morgan just a reliever now? Because I don't know how you fit
that is an impossible choice. that's the thing. Like if he comes up and he's still throwing 90, it's just not a tenable choice. He's a swingman. He's hey, look, it's Josh Allen part two. Like not Josh Allen, Josh Tomlin Logan part Josh two. Tom.
Oh, yeah,
Logan. Yeah. Logan, yeah, he's just the latter day Josh Tomlin. Because if he's only throwing, because again, he's all control and deception, but. Again, I thought the whole point of this team was they're going to develop these pitchers into something. Like they're going to find the location and secondary movement and then just add a few ticks to the old velo there.
I mean, Cody,
what happened this year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like Cody Morris, Connor Pilkington, those two are going to be kind of knocking on the door this year. I think Pilkington will probably just go to the bullpen, but like Morris could be a starter. I don't know. It's just they have so many starting pitchers, so many prospect pitchers. We talk about the – so many middle infielders they have, but so far, like, it's not like so many of them have panned out. I'd rather deal some of the pitchers that you know, like you're gonna have more with how they develop pitchers. You don't know if you're gonna have, like, if you believe Tyler Freeman is the real deal and like his hitting tool is real, I would rather keep him and trade like a Daniel Espino, who you also know is going to be real, but you also have like 12 other pitchers that you know down to a science how to develop and get them up. Like Gabriel Arias, if he's close and if he even if somebody wants him for like a Brian Reynolds, that's maybe the only thing I would trade him for, the only person. But I would almost rather trade pitching, despite how many middle infielders it looks like they have compared to how many actually ever pan out. Like,
well, what do we say to what happened last year, though? Right, because like the pitching staff going in was going to be the pillar on which they, you know, built everything, which is the foundation of the entire team. And what we got, 96 innings out of Bieber. We got 142 out of Plesac. We got 124 out of Civale. 149 out of Quantrill. I know the 200 inning pitcher is, you know, fading away into the distance. But are we just? I guess I'm talking around the idea that, like, do we think, and do we have any grounds to think this way, that all the injuries and the inability for pitchers to stay healthy was a result of the previous year? Was it like a hangover from a weird 60-game season of 2020 that was just a different construct and all that sort of thing? Are we on that boat at all, or is it a...
Maybe it's my hubris, but I just think it was random, awful luck. Maybe part of it was 2020 how quick they had to ramp up, which will also happen this year, by the way. They have to ramp up pretty quick, which is why they're not going to push everybody at the beginning, but... I think that was just like historic levels of shit luck they had last year. Who were we? We had like JC Mejia, who's not here anymore. He was a pitcher. He was the first one up. I mean, they had so many starting pitchers last year. I just don't think that happens again. It was because that was part of the problem. Like, these guys were not meant to just come up and be starters last year. I think Eli Morgan was probably up before he they probably wanted him to, but like, Hench who else are you going to put up games. There? Yeah. Yeah.
Phil Sam Hench started a bunch game. Nick Whitgren started. I mean, those are probably just bullpen games, but Phil,
why would you remind me of that? I love Phil Maine so much.
I know. He's the big tomato boy. We all miss him.
Yeah. 11 starting pitches. He's on the
pitching Astros. In the World Series. He was pitching in the World Series, wasn't he? Hench's, or Mayton was.
Were they in the World Series? Who was in the World Series
last year? Yeah, he was. Who was he on the Astros?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
He was bad on the Astros, but he was there just doing his thing, whipping cutters.
Yeah. I mean, I like Miles Straw. Like, we've talked about the trade before. The weird player for weird player was a great idea, and I think it
worked. I agree. I'm all in on Miles Straw. A mutual follow of ours, Ed Carroll on Twitter, was pointing out that he's like, do I just have to get used to supporting Miles Straw with this team? And I'm like, I agree with him, man. I mean, gosh, damn. But he's fun, I guess. Yeah,
he's what Bradley Zimmer we thought he would be. He's a speedy outfielder. I mean, there's no power that we thought Zimmer would have, but he's a speedy outfielder who probably maybe can hit with one.
But he gets on base.
Weird. Exactly. He gets on base with one really weird hole in his swing. But if he gets that figured out, I'm fully on the Miles Straw train, and I feel like there's more basis to that than any of the random hype I've had over prospects recently that haven't panned out at all.
Well, he's PS performance, right? I mean, yeah.
I mean, he's not like an all-star, but he'd be like,
he's a valuable. We talked about last year. He's the kind of guy that just makes a team better because he'll be hitting eighth or ninth. I hope not first. And he'll get on base, and he'll just cause havoc on the base paths, and then he'll make life easier for. What will inevitably, according to the depth chart, be a dreadful outfield defensively otherwise. I mean, yeah, and Naylor is inevitably going to end up out there, but I mean, I guess they did get Mercado out there, so.
Yeah. And he was almost a 4-win player last year, which is kind of crazy.
I know.
That was so much effective. Weighted by defense, but I mean, he also gets on base. I don't care if it doesn't have a ton of power. Like you said, just let him get on base and let these meaty boys behind him get him home.
It's the island of misfit toys. I mean, it's always been that way with Cleveland, right? It's just all these guys who have massive flaws. I mean, except for certain guys. You know, you got Jose, and you got Bieber, and you got Franmil Reyes, of course. No flaws in him at all. Do not look at his strikeout numbers. I'm not looking. And honestly, they're not as bad as you think either. Like, they're not great, but it's...
There was a streak for a while there last year. It was concerning, but I think he rebounded well enough that, like, if he's going to hit 30, 40 home runs, let him strike out 30% of the time. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, he's 100 and what, OPS plus 127. Like,
yeah, what's his RBAT, man? That's what I want. I don't need OPS plus.
Oh, thanks for asking. 123.
Thank you very much, man.
I'm glad you asked, and I'll let you know. Yeah, so, yeah.
The very important.
I guess his strikeout rate has been climbing steadily.
but don't career. Look at don't look. I don't look. I'm not looking.
No, not looking. Not looking. But his walk rate has also climbed. So I think that's what's important here. So yeah, and his ROBA is 355. So,
which I don't know if he'll be affected. I mean, we weren't going to talk about like the rule changes stuff, but, like the shift being banned. I think next year it's guaranteed or it could be, but I don't know. Like I don't think he's a guy that pulls it a lot, is he? But I don't know if it's going to affect him. Like Jose Ramirez, I think it'll help the most if he can pull and not be shifted on so much. But if he's not worried about it as much as he seemed to, but I don't know. Maybe
for MLB average pull last year was 28.8% of the time. Reyes was at 27.6, which is far and away his highest rate. Prior to that, he was at career. He's a 22.4% pull guy. And I do remember listening to, what's his name? Rick Manning talking about how when he's going good, it's always that kind of center. I can't do anything in my brain. Right center kind of angle. You know what I mean? And to your point about that too, just as far as the rule changes are concerned, this is why you give Jose Ramirez a 5-year extension right now. Like right now, that man. If you can't shift on him, he's going to hit 350 with like. 45. He's going to win an MVP next year if you can't shift on him. Like, that's it. Like, he just same deal, right? Like, same deal. Like he said he pulled the ball 41% of the time last year. 42 the year before that. Oh, since 2018, Ramirez has pulled the ball 40.9% of the time.
Yeah, and he's one of the most shifted players in baseball. Oppo. Yeah,
yeah. Imagine if he just if it's just open now. Like, he's going to win a batting title. He hits the ball so hard. Like, yeah.
And he doesn't have to worry about anything. God. He just swings the way he wants to, and he's going to get more that just drop in for doubles, more that get out of the infield.
Please give him $200 million for the next 5 years. That's not just even right. Oh, now. God.
You just buy out his prime 3 years, and maybe you get like 1 year at the tail end where he won't be all there production wise to be like 34, which you could still be really good at 34. Like if you get those first 4 years.
Yeah. All he'll be when he's 34 is what he was when he was 23. Was it 312, 363, 462? He'll just be a young 27-year-old Michael Brantley. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My God. Pay the man. Like this is the man you should pay. This is the man who should ascend to the top 10 in the world of – he should become a Hall of Famer as a Cleveland Guardian. And That would be organizational malpractice if they just let him go because –
I mean, if they extend him now and they get like 5 years of, let's not even say his 2020 production, which was insane. Like if he even gets like last year, he was a 137 WRC plus, does that for 4 more years, maybe a couple years sprinkled in more there, like hits 40 home runs a couple times. Like that's got to be a retire his number, but put him in like the Hall of Fame in Cleveland. Right? Hall of Fame, but
if you got four more years of what he did last year, we're talking about basically a 58 win player. Who then will have a few more years. Yeah, well, you're talking about an actual Hall of Famer, basically, is what you're talking about there. Like a legitimate, like, one of the greatest Cleveland baseball players ever. Like, up there with, like, maybe not, like, Nap Lajoie or anything like that, but, like, you know, like something just short of that. Like, one step below. Up there below, with
people that are alive right now that could remember.
Yeah, up there with living human beings, like Jim Thome or, you know. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if he did that, what we just discussed, he would be... I'm just looking real quick. He would be fifth all time in wins above replacement as a Cleveland baseball player. He'd be ahead of Stan Kovaleski, Earl Averill. He'd be behind Lou Boudreau. Is the next thing for him to jump. And that's just, or then we're running out of color photos of guys.
That's looking like another good territory.
Yeah, exactly. They should do that. Seriously, yeah. That would be so insane. He would just eat. He would eat. Oh man, that flying G is so cool.
I know, right? You see it on patches.
Oh
and
man,
stuff?
I forgot about it. It's just right there. Oh man, cool.
I'm so excited to see that in regular season stuff. You mentioned Rick Manning. I mean, we need to do. I don't want to keep track of it. I just want to know how many times he says the wrong name and just blows right by it and does not stop to correct it. Doesn't even pause. Just keeps on trucking.
I'm not going to watch every game, but yeah, I think as a staff, we can try and chart this.
Yeah.
I think between the, whatever, 8-6 or whatever, I'm sure between all of us, we watch all the games. So yeah. I think we could do that.
Yeah, if you see it happen, if you're listening to the podcast at this point, at me, when you see it happen, we'll try to keep track of how many times he does it and how many times he even bothers correcting himself. Because I don't think it'll be a whole lot. I don't think he cares, and he's just going to truck through.
Did you know that if Jose Ramirez has a year like he did last year, you know he'll pass on the all-time wins above replacement list?
Who's that, man?
Sam McDowell. Of course. God.
Every time. He's everywhere. He's so sudden.
Just glaring at me, just scowling over his shoulder. Mean old man. Get out of here.
All right, Mayor. I think that'll do it for us this week. If you are listening to the podcast, when you're not adding me for Rick Manning using the wrong team name, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't. It's been a while, so... We could use those to help us get the word out there a little more. The podcast back. Let your friends know. Follow us on Twitter at Matt RLY, Mayor at Merrill Lunch, like Merrill Lynch with lunch. There we go. I still got it. Following Cover the Corner. It is. Yeah. At Cover the Corner. Covering the Corner on Facebook. And of course, coveringthecorner.com. Mayor, talk to you next week.
I need to get a new Twitter name. So before you leave, let's. Hey, fans out there, I'm tired of spoonerized Barry Bonds. So find a new one for me.
There you go.
That one makes me laugh, but anyway, I'll see you next week.